Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Somebody say, praise the Lord. I'm just excited to be back and sharing with you guys. Amen. God is a good God. Anybody in agreement with that? If you're in agreement, say, yes, he is. Sometimes I think we got to teach them the church etiquette. You know, when church people say God is a good God, there got to be something that goes with it. Right? That's just the kind of churches that I grew up with. You know what I mean? They were a little bit louder, but sometimes we have to remember that we are not just here to just watch. We are here to worship God together. Amen. I'm going to read and pray today. I'm going to talk about the presence of God. Somebody say the presence of God. Heavenly Father, I just come before you thanking you for another opportunity to be in your presence. God, we pray to God that we would not misuse your presence, that we would not miss the moment that you have us here for tonight. God, so I pray to God that you speak to us, that we hear clearly, dear God, that we would get the direction that you have sent to us. In the mighty name of Jesus, let the church say, amen and amen. Amen. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad to be in the house of God tonight. Anybody really mean that?
Yes.
Amen. Praise God. I like that. Sister Jane getting loud. Praise God. I'm just going to say this. A lot of times as we get into church, and Brother Tamron, you can attest to this. A lot of times we're like, the presence is here, right? How many times you go to a church and they're like, his presence is here. But what does that mean? What does that mean for us? Because a lot of times we just get excited that his presence comes, but do we understand what we should do when God's presence comes, right? What does that mean? What does that look like? When I was in prayer this evening, God gave me something from Isaiah chapter 6, and we're going to see what happens when Isaiah gets into the presence of God. There's going to be three things that we're going to highlight that can happen. Amen. And when we begin to continue to be in the presence of God, this should teach us so that we know how to be in his presence. See, it's good that God's presence comes, but what next from that? Right? You know, we're pushing God. We worship God. We sing songs to him. We want his presence, but let's not forget why we want his presence. Amen? So somebody say, why do you want his presence? Ask the person next to you, why do you want his presence? Lynn, we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 6. And like I said, we're going to look at three things that bring and happen when you're in the presence of God. Okay, we're going to read the whole chapter. Isaiah chapter 6 says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood a seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two, he covered his face. With two, he covered his feet. And with two, he flew. These are angels. Now, some people always think angels are like, you know how we make movies? Angels are always super soft looking, right? This angel had six wings. Okay, two of them covered himself, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit later, because when you go into the presence, you have to cover yourself because you're not worthy enough to be in his presence. Every time we see somebody enter into the presence of God in the Bible, they say, I'm not worthy, right? Moses comes into the presence. This is holy ground, so he had to take his shoes off, and he's like, I'm not ready for this, right? Everybody that enters into his presence, they have to come understanding that they are not worthy of God's presence. Amen. We have to reverence his presence. I remember one thing, as I was doing music with some older guys, and we would pray, and there were, you know, at that time I heard God speak quick, and they were like, man, you have to reverence when God speaks to you. You know, to me, I was like, hey, I can call on God anytime he can speak. But when he speaks something to you, you have to hold that to a higher degree. Amen. When God shares something with you, that's why even when I preach, there might be a whole bunch of things that come in my head. But when God says something, I'm like, okay, that's it. I can feel God on that. Amen. So you reverence. Somebody say reverence. The presence. All right. So let's keep on going. Verse 3. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. They continue to say, and if we look in Revelations, we see that as they are in heaven waiting, they continue to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb. So worship is not just, you know, I know we always say worship is a lifestyle, but we have to understand what kind of lifestyle it is, right? Because sometimes we say, oh, worship's a lifestyle. But what does that mean? That means with everything that I have, I reverence God. I lift him up. I exclaim how holy he is, right? I esteem him in every area of my life. A lifestyle that doesn't do that is not a lifestyle of worship, right? So the same way you are when you sing a song, God, I just want to worship you. I just want to be where you are, whatever the songs are that we sing, the same heart that you have, that's the life that you should live. Right. So you move out of this place when I'm outside of this church. God, help me to worship you really with my life. Right. This is what it looks like when you worship. And it says, and one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Many people want to know why God doesn't do this. Why doesn't he do that? There's enough glory in this earth to let you know that why God or who God is. There's enough glory that in this earth for us to recognize how good he is. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, it says this, that the created things show that there's a creator. The created things show that there is a God. Amen. And many times we want God, and I've been there, right? Have you ever been in a place where you're like, God, I need you to show up. If you don't show up, I don't know what I'm going to do. Right? And we almost give God these ultimatums, like, God, if you don't do this, I'm going to do that. Like, listen, we have to really understand that we are finite. And we don't use that word a lot, right? Finite means the opposite of infinite. There's a time limit on us, right? If God is infinite, you are finite, which really means small, right? Let's say this whole wall to wall is eternity. You are just this amount of eternity. Right? You're not really too much. But see, we try to make demands of God. Like, God, if you could, I understand that we have prayer requests and different things like that. But we have to continue to understand that, God, if you're willing, can you do this? You remember those people in the Bible, they pray that if you're willing. Lord, if this is your will. So when you come to God with prayer requests, you have to understand what his will is and stand on him according to that. Amen. We can't punk God, right? Punking God is, oh, God, if you don't do this, I'm leaving. God is not worried about that. He's above that. Amen. Let's keep on going. Verse 4 says, and the post of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, woe is me. This is another person in the presence of God. He says the same thing. Woe is me, for I am undone. You guys know what that means? He's like, this, I'm not supposed to be here. He's scared that something is going to happen. Woe is me. Because I am undone, and then he says, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. So what Isaiah is saying here, he's saying, I'm not worthy. And this is a prophet. We got to catch this. This is a prophet, the people that were the closest to God at that time. Right. This was the only voice at this time. We have to catch this. Sometimes we don't get this. At this time, they didn't have the scriptures like we had the scriptures. So when God had to speak to the children of Israel, he spoke through a prophet, somebody that was a mouthpiece for God. But Isaiah, the prophet, says his mouth is not even clean. Right? The very thing that God wants to use, he's saying, God, I'm not even good enough. And one thing that I continue to pray when I pray is, God, I am nothing without you. Right? Why? So I can remind myself that I need God. Okay? This is very important that we remind ourselves that God is good and we need help. Amen. Let's keep on going. It says, I will dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged. Now, I remember I was at a conference, I believe it might have been Pastor Harris's conference, but they were talking about sin and iniquity. They're two different things. Many times we think iniquity and sin are the same thing. Sin is when you outwardly do some things. Iniquity is even the thoughts. Right? And I can be honest. I have thoughts that are not of God. And the Bible says we must cast them down. Right? So when a thought, see, there's nothing wrong with thoughts that come into your head. Okay? But if you allow them to stay there, that's the problem. Right? When you start dwelling, see, temptation will come. But God says he will provide a way out of temptation. So many times if a thought comes in your head, you have to say, God, or one thing I say is I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Why? Because I want my mind to be clean. Right? So what happens here, though, is the angel basically comes and shows us the forgiveness so that Isaiah can be in the presence. See that? He's in his presence. He realizes I'm not good enough. The angel comes and touches his lips as a sign of now you are clean. Right? What we saw there is an early showing of what Jesus Christ was coming to do. Because we are not worthy to be in his presence. Amen? Can I get an amen? Is anybody in here worthy to be in his presence? Okay. So if you're not worthy, you got to say amen. That really just means I agree. Just in case you didn't know, amen means I agree. Okay. So we are not worthy to be in his presence, but because we admit that, God forgives us. And he cleans us so we can be in his presence. Let's keep on going. I'm going to get through this chapter. And we're going to get to my points. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. So what Isaiah is getting is a word for these people, okay? A word because, and it's not just any word, this is a word that was prophesied earlier, or this is really a prophecy that they keep on hearing what God is saying, but they're not understanding. They keep seeing the movements of God, right? But they don't perceive, which means they're not catching on to it, right? Just imagine you seeing God clear the Red Sea. And then in 2 days, you begging, you blaspheming God because he didn't give you something to eat. He just saved your life 2 days ago from the biggest, at that time, the strongest army, the Egyptians. And you didn't have to raise a weapon. He just washed them out of your life, literally. But this kept on happening. God, there's so many times that God shows himself even to us. And we have to make sure we're not just like, ah, man, God, I need you again tomorrow. What you begin to do is like, God, I know you're a faithful God. Amen. I saw you do this yesterday and I know you're faithful again. Right. So whatever you're able to do, God, whatever you are willing to do, I accept it. God, if I got to go through this, that's fine, because I know that you are a good God. Yeah. Amen. When you start praying like this, when you start getting focused like this, it changes your lifestyle. This comes from the presence of God. Amen. I'm not going to read the rest of that because he has a word for the people at that time. But what I want us to see is the three things that I catched onto, or I was able to latch onto as I saw the presence of God. Number one, to be in the presence of God, first of all, you have to worship God. And I already talked about worship. It's a reverence. It's a continued honoring of God in all that you do. If you want the presence of God in your life, you have to reverence God. Amen. You have to get to a place where God, you are a good God. I thank you. And see, this is not even just for the things he's done. It's just telling him who he is. Amen. See, sometimes we want to worship God for what he's done, but we have to just worship God for who he already is. Right. He doesn't. If he you heard some church folks say, if he doesn't do another thing, he's God all by himself. Amen. I couldn't hoop and holler. I almost lost my voice like that. But if he doesn't do another thing, he is already good enough for us. So we have to worship God for who he is. Amen. Our worship, catch this, our worship sets the stage for God to come. Amen. So when we are even in church, the whole reason why we have worship in the beginning is to set the stage for God to come. But that is not it. See, some of us, we come just to sing the song. Oh, I love those music. Love that song. And when God's presence comes in, we start checking our phones. Right? We start, oh, well, God, hey, that was good. Amen. But you miss what God wants to do while his presence is here. Amen. See, we always say, I don't want to go to church and leave the same way. I want God to do something. But that, what God does is what happens is when you are in his presence, that's when he's able to do something. Amen. So worship sets the stage for God. Then my second point is we have to be honest with God. Okay. There's nothing worse than when we're not honest with God. I'll just ask a question like this. Have you ever known somebody was lying to you? Yeah. And you're like, this person, you gotta be kidding me. Are you serious? You're gonna straight up lie. I mean, when I see my kids lying, I'm just like, what? Okay, yeah. I can see it. I tell my kids, I can see it in your face. You're not telling me the truth. Because there's something different about you, right? There's something different. But imagine we lie to God. When we get in his presence, oh God, there was a scripture in the Bible that talked about two people. One came to God and said, God, I'm good. I thank you. I'm not like that man. Right? I thank you that I'm the highest of the Pharisees. I've kept the law. I haven't had no problems. And God did not hear his prayer. But another man came to God and says, woe is me. I am undone. He said the same thing. I am a sinner. I am not clean, God. And God heard his prayer because he was honest. See, many times we try to hide. See, this is kind of the weird thing about God. We hide from people that we consider God's people, the stuff that we do, right? Thinking that we're getting away with it. But God is not that person. God sees all. Amen. Can I get some people to talk to me right now? God sees everything. The Bible says what is done in the dark will come to the light. So check this out. What you do in the dark, God's going to expose it one day. And that's a scary thing. Right? So what I do, God, forgive me for whatever I've done wrong. Why? Because I want a clean slate. Amen. I have to repent. See, when you're in his presence, you must repent. Right? You don't want to stay in his presence and think you're good. You're missing the fact that Jesus came just like the angel did to clean you. So when you're in his presence, God begins to clean you and create in you a clean heart. So that's why that's one of my prayers, creating me a clean heart, right? And renew a right spirit within me, because God, as I continue to enter into your presence, I want you to clean me up. As I continue to go through life, there's different dirt that might come on me. And I'm saying, God, I need to be clean. My mind, it needs to be clean. My heart, it needs to be clean. Maybe I did something wrong. Maybe I spoke to somebody the wrong way. And God, I'm honest, I need help with that. All right, one of the things, this comedian Anthony Davis, he did, like, when you're helping your kids with homework, and at first he's like, hey, what is 2 + 2? And the kid doesn't get it. And he's like, stupid, what is 2 + 2? What you mean? And you know me, I don't call my kids stupid, but I get up tight when they don't get stuff that I think they should get. And when I saw that, I couldn't even laugh at it, because I was like, God, I'm working on that, man. God, help me. One thing I'm trying to do is not yell so much. When my kids do things they're not supposed to, I'm like, God, help me just talk to them. Right? There's a Pastor Nate that I grew up under. I never seen this guy yell at anybody. I tell you guys this I've told you this a few times. His sons did some crazy stuff, and if it was me, I might have lost it, right? I might have had to go to the altar the next Sunday and be like, I killed my son. It was an accident. It was an accident, right? But his patience is something that I admire, because I'm like, wow, how does he do that? You mean you? And I'm just like, God, help me. This is honesty. Can we be honest? All right. So we got to be honest, we got to repent, and we also have to even speak to God about our fears, right? Now, I've never been outside the United States before, and somebody's been asking me to come to his country, and I'm like, oh, no. I don't know about that. I'm not going to say anything else about that right now, right? But I just like, And I gave him a different excuse, you know, but I have to be honest. I'm like, God, if you want me to go, then let it happen. I can't allow my fears to hold me back. So we have to even take our fears to God and say, God, remove this fear. I don't know why I fear this. Maybe it's because something my mom said. I don't know. I don't know about you guys. My mom's side of the family, they have some interesting things that they say and they do. And then you'd be like, oh, I'm not going to do that because they said, you know, so it's just funny to me. But our honesty with God will get us cleaned up. Amen. Because on the flip side, when we're dishonest, we actually saw it in the beginning. Somebody say in the beginning. Adam and Eve sinned. Before they sinned, the Bible says that they were naked, okay? Now, this is not to be funny or anything like that, but when it says that they were naked, that meant they had no shame, okay? They had no shame. They could go meet with God. It was not a problem. But as soon as they sinned, it says this in Genesis chapter 3. We're going to read 6 through 10. And it says, after they ate the food, right? It says, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened. So I got a quick question. Was her eyes closed? Was her eyes closed? Before this, was her eyes closed? No. They weren't closed. They weren't walking around. They were not walking around with their eyes closed. But their eyes were open to sin, to shame, to guilt. Okay? Amen? I'm not making anything up, right? This is sound. This is sound doctrine. This is going along with what's going on. Because I know that God didn't make us without eyes to see. Because when God made us, he says they were good. Right? So it says this. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And then check out, this is what happens because of their sin. This is what happens when the presence of God comes. It says, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife, what did they do? Hid. We're in Genesis chapter 3 around verse 8, I think. It says, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife, what does it say? Hid. Everybody say hid. They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. When you are dishonest, when you have sin in your life, you try to hide from God's presence. Have you ever been to church and you knew you wasn't right? And they'd be like, come on up for prayer. You're like, oh, nah, not today. Praise God, I'm good. Right? Or there's a prophet coming and you... Ooh, don't say nothing to me, please. Right? Have you ever been there before? Knowing you're like, man, you know, shoot, if she say or he say. Why? Because you have something that you're hiding. You are no longer open and honest with God because sin is in your life. And what sin does, it makes us try to hide things from God. But I already told you, God sees all, right? If you think you're getting away from the law, you're still not getting away from God, right? Because as I was reading in my devotionals today, God is a righteous judge. That means he doesn't curve, catch this, he doesn't curve judgment based on who you are, what you look like, how much your status, how your status is. He doesn't change it. See, that's the problem with, I might say this and people might not like this, but in America, we have a system that is not always judging people on the right thing. It's not always righteous judgment. That's why some things happen, especially when we see these killings of black people, right? And when we see them and the person gets off, we're like, what? Why did that happen? Because it's not a righteous judge. Or the system is not a righteous system. But God is going to judge you based on whether you knew God, you knew Jesus Christ or not. That's the only righteousness that matters. Right? And he's keeping books. Somebody say he's keeping books. So he keeps tally of all your sins. Did you know that? But the great thing about God is his son died and his blood was shed and he takes that blood and wipes off your sins when you accept him. He wipes them out. And the Bible says that he throws them away into the sea of forgetfulness. But see, some of us want to hide. Can't do that in his presence. Can't hide in his presence, because when you hide in his presence, you're going to miss what his presence was there for. It says, then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Sin makes us hide from God's presence. Honesty makes us thrive in God's presence. Okay? See, when God's presence comes, after we've worshiped, it is our job to be honest with God and say, God, I need your help. God, I'm struggling with this. Right? Even if you've been in church your whole life, there's still, you have to admit the things that you are dealing with and say, God, I need help. Because I can't do this by myself. That's why one of my favorite songs is I can't live without you. Tell me, what can I do? Because I can't live without you. Can't live without you. I love songs like that because it keeps us in the right frame of mind when it comes to us and God. Amen? I'm all for good, positive worship, I don't even call them worship songs. I call them inspirational songs. Those are great, right? God got a blessing. That's great, right? But we always got to remember who we are in God. See, sometimes we just come for the blessing. God bless me. God bless me. That's not always his presence. See, you wanted a gift. You didn't want his presence. You wanted a present. You didn't want his presence. See, sometimes that's how we treat God. God, if you could just be Santa Claus in my life, huh? If I can get a new iPhone 11 Max, Pro, whatever they call it, right? If I can get this, God, you would be good in my life. God is not based on you getting your phone or not. His goodness is not based on that. But see, sometimes we base it on that. God, if I can just get a new house, if I can just get a new car. But do you take care of? Well, that's a whole other message. I'm not even going to. Right? What I'm trying to tell you is this. Do not miss God's presence because you're hiding. Do not miss God's presence because you are hiding. Amen? The next thing and the last thing that happens when you are in the presence of God is he gives after you have worship God, after you have admitted who you are, if you've been honest with God, he will give you direction and revelation. See, some of us don't know who we are or what God has called us to do, and you only get that through his presence. See, God's presence will give you who you are and what you are called to do. Okay, this is more than a job. Okay, this is not just, oh, you're going to be a doctor. God might say that to you, but he might even say, even as you are on your way to work, this is what I want you to do. Even as you da-da-da-da, this is what I want you to do, right? Because in the presence of God, he will give us direction, clear direction. Many times, even what I used to do with Marcel Chamian and myself, we would when we were writing songs, we would just pray. Worship God and sit still and be quiet. And this is important. I think it's good to be quiet in the presence of God. And as we're quiet, we ask God, what do you want us to write a song about? So as we're quiet, we would hear God say some things and we would write some things down. And every time we did that, God gave us the exact same thing. So we knew that was the song. Right? Stuff like that, when you say, God, I'm going to be in your presence because I need direction. Have you ever been in a jam, you're trying to figure it out, and guess what? Many times it's the hardest thing to sit still and listen to God. But that's where you're going to get your direction. And I sometimes it's like I'm running around like a hamster on a wheel. And then it's like, okay, God, okay. Let me just sit in your presence because this is not going to get me the answer that I need. Right? Even when it comes to preaching, if I just keep on moving and there's a lot of stuff that I have to do. Right? But if I don't sit still and listen to God, get in his presence, I'm going to miss what he wants me to share. You know, I don't just come up with sermons. I don't freestyle sermons. Right? Just come up, oh God, I have to sit still in his presence, ask him, God, what do you want to say to the people that you've entrusted us to? Amen. Direction and revelation comes from God when we're in his presence. Actually, I wanted to say this about the being honest. There's a scripture that I was reading in my devotion this week, and it really hit me. It says Acts chapter 3:19. Go ahead and pull this up. Actually, I'm going to keep this in the direction of revelation. There's also refreshing that comes in the presence of God. Oh, man, I don't know about you. Do you know what it feels like to be refreshed? Right? Maybe you like to take a bath sometimes. Maybe you like a hot shower and you've been at work all day. There's something that happens when you are refreshed. Or maybe you got a massage or something like that. I've never had a real massage. My wife has done it. That's not, I'm not going to say that. I haven't been to a place and got a massage before, right? I didn't want to say anything where my wife was like, what you mean? Yeah, that's not what I'm trying to do right now. I had some wisdom right there. I heard God say something to me. Amen. But in Acts chapter 3:19, it says this, repent, therefore, and be converted that your sins may be blotted out so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Man, when I read that, I was like, wow. Acts chapter 3:19. Repent, therefore, and be converted that your sins may be blotted out so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. As you are in his presence, he gives you refreshing, a refreshing feeling. I've never been high before in my life. I've never drank, but I have been in God's presence and felt his presence so much where I was like, I told my wife, I don't know if this is what high feels like, but I think it is. Why? Because I was in God's presence and I felt like it's almost like you were floating, right? And that's what happens. It's a refreshing moment. But he gives us direction. Amen. And I'm going to read this last passage. And then I'm going to close. It says, John chapter 4, verse 22 through 26. Did my dad just read the story of the woman at the well? Okay. Well, anyway. This is the Samaritan woman at the well, right? She came at a different time because she couldn't be around everybody else because they were going to judge her, point fingers at her. So when Jesus came, it was the perfect time. When Jesus comes anyway, it's always the perfect time, right? But he came and spoke to her life. She wanted some, she was getting water. Jesus asked for some water. And then Jesus said to her, I have water that you don't even know of. And if you drink of this water, you will never thirst again. And she was like, give me that water. I'm tired of coming to this well, right? This is Jacob's well. This is great. But if you got some water where I don't have to come back to it to get more water, then I want that. But Jesus was talking spiritually, right? And then he starts to tell her about herself. She starts asking questions. She starts talking about, oh, this is what is right. And Jesus is like, well, this is what the Bible says. And then towards the end of it, it says, Jesus says, you worship what you do not know in John 4:22. We know what we worship. That, to me, that's crazy. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship. That's key. Catch this. If you are in the presence of God, you got to know who you worship. Okay, because if you don't know, it's just like, oh, I don't know what's going on. But the reason why is because it says, for salvation is of the Jews. It says, but the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship, somebody say, will worship, the Father in spirit and in truth. Okay, so now you're in the presence of God, his spirit is there, but you have to be true with God. Remember, I talked to you, you got to be honest with God. If you're not honest with God, you're missing the point of his presence. It says, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. See, not only is God, not only do you want God's presence, God wants to bless you with his presence. See, sometimes we're like, God, if I can just do, I just want to get in here. No, he wants to get you in his presence. You just got to be obedient. Right? I think that was good. It says, God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And she tried to change the subject. That's really what she's doing right there. But Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. And when he says he is saying that he is the Messiah. Okay? So what happened, even in this passage, God breaks down what true worship is because she's in his presence, right? God breaks down who he is when she was in his presence. And the more that we get into God's presence, the more he reveals to us who he is. See, we don't just wake up one day and you know, my dad has said this many times, you don't wake up one day and a light bulb goes off and you're like, that's who God is. That doesn't happen. But the more you see God, the more you seek him, right? This is why it was powerful just growing up seeing the old women in church always. They used to have Saturday morning prayers. You used to come in and they just rocking, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God is good. Amen. And they would do this for hours, right? And because of that, they had a strong sense of who God was, right? Because they spent time in his presence. The more you spend time in the presence of God, the more he reveals to you. Amen. So the last thing I'm going to say is tarry in the presence of God. You guys know what tarry means? I know that's not a word. It means to wait. Wait in his presence. Press in his presence. Stay in the presence of God so that you can do what he has called you and understand your purpose, to understand your assignment. See, many Christians, we're living this life and we're missing his presence. We're missing the presence of God. The Bible talks about it. We have the works of God. But what is it? What does it say? We deny the power thereof. What is that? What is that scripture? I can't. We have a form of godliness, right? But we deny his power. What does that mean? That means we act and do all the things we're supposed to do. It looks good, but there's no power because there's no connection. My friend on Facebook, he had one of these power plugs, and they're plugged into each other. One is not plugged into the source. It's just plugged into each other. Imagine you got a 50-foot cord and it's just plugged into itself. Power can't go through there because it's not connected to the source. See, we have a form of godliness. We've seen how it's supposed to look. But until you're connected to God, there's no power. And God wants you to be powerful. Amen. God, I thank you to God for your word. I pray to God that your word would speak to us, would mature us, would build us into who you are, God. I pray to God now as we see your presence, as we seek you, dear God, help us to be honest. Help us to be repentive. Help us to come to you and say, God, I need your help. Then, God, show us who you've called us to be. Show us all that you want us to be.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.